Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome. It is Friday, and we've got a lot of material to cover. Just to let you know and to give you a heads up, I was speaking to one of the candidates that is running for governor in Georgia, the great state of Georgia, or as some would say, the corrupt state of Georgia. Anyway, I'm hoping that he will be able to dial in. We want to talk about his campaign and some of his efforts in the past. He's an author and so forth. I will disclose the name when he calls in. But anyway, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well. And you can go to Mobius Strip Press and .com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and get all of our content or information and background. If you need more, my emails are out there on those websites. So just by all means, let me know if you what you need. I do cause people to think and come up with questions. I can't think of everything. Anyway, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. That is 215-TOP-TALK. And just to give you the three reasons why you really need to download these podcasts, and these podcasts are at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. This, number one reason, this is the show on air, and none other on air are asserting a constitutional solution to putting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And this is a results-oriented program that is driving for change so that we can actually deal with all the federal government overreach. The content on the show will refer to, and this is the number two reason, the content on this show will refer to previous shows, so keeping informed with what I'm talking about in previous shows will help you understand what I'm talking about in this particular show. Bear in mind the content, and again, this is reason number three, bear in mind the content on this show is perishable, or it's not perishable, nor is it temporary, because it is dealing with the facts and source documents. You can count on the fact that this is still a relevant show if you played it 10 years from now. And hopefully by 10 years from now, we have completely eliminated all the unconstitutional government. All the states are being able to do and thrive, do well and thrive under their own demise. Because, you know, if you look at California, apparently it's that old line or adage, you give any species enough rope and they will end up hanging themselves. And so apparently somebody's been throwing rope in California. The question I have is, and it's still a standing question, if you listened to yesterday when I went through the Bill of Rights and how they applied to the states as far as the Bill of Rights specifically and other amendments, does the Constitution protect religious freedom? That's a heavy one. Does the Constitution protect religious freedom? So a lot of people are talking about Trump tariffs. This is just another form of government welfare. Now, you got to be honest here. America, or our republic, is always fighting the economic warfare of other nations. And what ends up happening is other nations are subsidizing their companies, corporations, business, production, exports, and those types of things. And so when you look at Japan has a lot of different industries that is subsidized by the government. China is all subsidized by the government. And so those products that are coming in here are being, if you want to call it, tariffed, or they're basically dumping, as Trump would call it, products into America. How do you get to really create a true free market to where we are really competing with what it costs for China to make steel and or Korea to make steel and or Canada? And so the solution is not welfare, because bottom line, that is costing us at the expense of one particular market. And the other real big reason why corporate welfare is just no good is because it is unconstitutional. The federal government and the states never delegated to that federal government the power, role, responsibility to administer handouts to government. And so by design, our general government, under the secular progressive programs have been instituted by old-time leadership, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, going to Wilson, and so forth, and even up to Obama. And even Trump looks like, you know, he's going to throw some progressive policies in there or support and buoy up some of these progressive policies. Well, they have a diabolical system that is within these plans, policies, and so forth. And that diabolical plan is actually working to undermine our republic. If you just look at, and it's easy to point your finger towards the welfare state and entitlements, whether it be for corporations or whether it be for people, humans, food stamps, welfare checks, those types of things. Because what ends up happening is it creates a bad or an insidious type of incentive. And if you look at what welfare is, because welfare in the human sense, how we take care of people, that is a pure entitlement, because there's no bounds or there's no thresholds that, oh, well, you have to have this, you have to be this. I mean, you want money, just come in and apply. And, you know, the requirements for qualifications aren't that high. As a matter of fact, that's why illegals are getting welfare. And as a matter of fact, the candidate for Georgia has got some real driving passion and points on that whole thing, because we're spending more effort and money in accommodating and placating illegals and the progressive agenda than we are veterans. And that's one of his big driving points. But as I'm talking about the pure entitlement, if you understand just how many different entitlement programs there are, and I don't even know, and I'm not going to do the research for it, but I do know the Project Veritas, back in the days when they were going into Planned Parenthood, they actually exposed Planned Parenthood and how their workers were trained in helping you maximize the scamming of the system so that you could go and apply for this. And did you know you're entitled to this? And if you go over here, you can get this paperwork and you can apply for that. And it's mind-boggling why we have these types of parasites that actually exist, that they're designed to drain us and collapse us. Because that was, I think it's Piven's plan. He basically wrote a book, or he wrote a paper on collapsing the system. And that's exactly what these socialist programs are doing, is they're trying to push you into the system and giving you all the different benefits. And I remember mentioning before that somebody in Ohio who was on TV, I think it was Stossel, where this lady said she'd have to get a job making over $80,000 a year to basically compensate her for what she is getting on the entitlements from the federal government, state, and local communities. And that's pathetic, folks. Somebody living as, you know, in an indolent lifestyle, and I don't want to drag people out and stone them or put them into gas chambers, but we have to incentivize people. And the best incentive, as Milton Friedman says, is moving their cheese. And I'm just quoting another different author. But Milton Friedman says, as soon as they realize that the handouts are going to go away, then they will quickly get on board with finding a way to put food in their mouths, because everybody has this desire to survive. I'm up at a hard break, and I will try to wrap up this welfare diatribe for corporate and individuals as soon as we get back from this break. So please stay tuned, and I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services, but due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. When it comes to welfare, the different forms of assistance are kind of overwhelming because there is the federal, state, and the local municipalities, counties, and what have you, as far as everybody trying to be charitable and trying to help the needy. And so it's not just welfare money, you know, that you sign up for, that you're getting these checks for. It's not just the food stamps and getting your credit card charged up or lodging, there are a plethora of different programs and opportunities, such as, you know, the soup kitchens, and some of these cities and municipalities are offering free needles and so forth, just to make life easier and accommodating. And I have to ask why are we actually making it easier for them to have free needles so they can take drugs and so forth? And oh, by the way, free healthcare clinics. They overdose, you know, we will be spending lots of money in, you know, saving them from, you know, dying so that they can, you know, continue to consume drugs and consume, you know, food, tax dollars, and so forth. Where is the incentive to become self-sufficient? There is none within the system. And that was why it is diabolical, because what ends up happening is you become dependent. You kind of like this. You're not doing anything for it. And actually what this does is it incentivizes the individual and even the corporation to become an activist so that they get more free stuff at the expense of those who are being self-sufficient and those who are, you know, being honest and doing their duty and in the society and so forth. That even includes businesses, folks. I mean, businesses are equally culpable. I worked for a global company that was placating and kowtowing to government policies and so forth. And they were huge drivers in promoting the progressive agenda. Globalist companies, you can count on that they are going to push and drive globalist agendas. Now, they do have this self-preservation type of thing, so you can't be surprised that Boeing and some of these large global companies are, you know, maybe not union-friendly, but they sure embrace most all of the progressive agenda. And the union and labor, that's a completely different issue. But I will tell you that if you start looking, it's not just Planned Parenthood and local activist community organizing groups, ACORN and so forth, that is out there to help and, you know, help you maximize your gaming of the system. Churches do this too. And on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can find that signatory list. And again, it's on the Red State Radio podcast page. If you just go below the podcast, you'll actually see the signatory list. And those churches are probably culpable for trying to help their parishioners in, you know, applying for all of the nourishment, but for the sustenance and the supplication, there's the word, the supplication that they need, instead of actually making these and helping these parishioners transition to a life of self-sufficiency and, you know, wholesome life, because living at the expense of somebody else is not a wholesome life. There used to be a point in time when people in this country had a level of, I'll use the word pride, but integrity, honor. They would not consider it honorable to be working or not to be working and taking the supplication from some hardworking person and having them have to sacrifice for your sake. Ward Connerly, in his Creating Equal book, talked about this, and he talked, I believe it was his grandmother. I've had him on my show before. Maybe I'll have him on again, but I remember he talking about this, how the paradigm started shifting in the 60s under the Great Society Plan, where you're entitled to this. And his grandmother, I think she, that was the one that raised him. I'm kind of stretching my gray cells here, but the point is that the paradigm shift was before, in the 50s and so forth, it was immoral and it corrupt to be able to consider yourself taking welfare. And then all of a sudden she changed her position towards, well, I'm entitled to this and we need to do this. And I think that's when Ward Connerly finally split and left the house. It's a very good book. Read it, because it talks about his struggle in trying to maintain a even playing field for all, and instead of creating advantages for others. Anyway, I digress. The point is that there are always multiple programs to help underwrite activists and useful idiots for getting a good show at protests and marches. And so just so you understand, there's the incentive right there, because a lot of those kids that are out there in the middle of the day marching, protesting, creating havoc, burning things and property damage and so forth, what jobs do these kids have? And as a matter of fact, a lot of people have been exposing the fact that Soros and other globalists are underwriting. So these kids are out there making money. They get paid cash, $25 an hour, for the amount of time they spend out there protesting and trying to put fear in the community so that the community will cave, because that's their tactics. It's basically terrorism. The fact that people are able to vote while being indolent and dependent on government entitlement is tantamount to buying votes. It's an immoral practice, and we should never, never allow that type of practice here in America. Tax breaks are always the best solution. So this is what I want to drive home, that if you want to incentivize companies, give them a better tax break. Because if you look at the steel industry today, that Trump is trying to create tariffs for and giving them a better even playing field, well, give them tax breaks so they can make products and sell them cheaper by not taxing them so much. These companies just got a 13% revenue bump by the drop in taxes that just took place, right? So why are they now clamoring for even more tariffs and government intervention? If the government needs to do anything to, you know, help even the playing field in very specific markets where other countries are subsidizing, then technically the best way to do that is subsidize the steel industry so that the steel industry can then capitalize on those taxes being saved and sell their product at a lower cost. Because if you lower their cost or their burden of business, then you've instantly lowered the cost of their product. Or one would think that you would do that. I think that the steel industry might be a little bit greedy and thinking, well, you know, yeah, we're going to pocket that 13%. We still want to make our, you know, sell our product for the same amount so that we can make even more money. And if you could help us over here by creating these tariffs, that almost seems just as bad as human welfare, where people are trying to game the system as much as they can. Now, I get it. If there is an uneven playing field, then the tax breaks is the way to go instead of targeting any of the importers, because bottom line, everybody will then start feeling the pinch or having to compete with a cheaper American product, and that other countries would probably go, you know what, we can't go much further. Because I'll tell you what, 22%, there's still a lot of room there that the federal government can make a big change in the cost of American steel and other American products. So if you want to start evaluating those on a case-by-case basis, that would be possibly the best way to do it, to where you're not necessarily creating an incentive for bad behavior and forcing other people to feel the ramifications of what you're doing, because there's no doubt that this will ripple into other markets, and it's best to just isolate the one market or the few markets that you feel you need to isolate. That being said, I've got another hard break here. When we come back, I'm going to get into the Madison's veto statement or an admonishment back to Congress. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships. From the designers they work with, the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner, they relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus upfront on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculptor taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, Rippey Homes takes a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component in the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream. To make your dreams become reality, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Yes, and I will forego any more discussion on these handouts and welfare. I think it's very important that we take a look at this constitutionally. And as I started this whole thing off, all welfare is unconstitutional. But the government does have the ability and the power vested in it for taxing corporations and so forth. And so there is an advantage for using the constitutional powers at their disposal instead of just jumping out there and providing unconstitutional welfare. Now, let me give you a little back brief on this veto that James Madison had done. And so he was just wrapping up. This veto admonishment going back to Congress was written on the 3rd. He literally left office that day. So James Monroe was coming in to replace him, was being inaugurated, and Madison was stepping down. And what happened months before this, or I don't know how long it was, but there was a little process where these friends of Madison came over to Congress and said, President Madison, you've been the greatest champion for liberty. You've done this country so good. You gave us this Constitution. What can we do? What type of legislation? And of course, I'm paraphrasing. There's really no accuracy to what I'm saying. But their intent was that they wanted to create a hallmark legislation in his honor. And so Madison then kind of went off on this tangent with them, informing them that, you know, the one thing that America needs is this ability to move commerce more efficiently and effectively. And if America could do that, then he believed, and actually Adam Smith even asserted this in the Wealth of Nations book. So, I mean, Madison had already read that, and he knew what we needed. And so what Madison did was he said, hey, if we can improve our highways, waterways, so that we can more efficiently move commerce than Europe, then we would become an economic force that the world could not reckon with. And he was absolutely correct. However, Congress didn't understand what he was telling them to do. And he basically didn't spell it out for them. He was just kind of telling them, this is the one thing we need to do. So what do? They go off and they create this bill, and it's called the, I'll read it out of the bill here, and or out of his veto statement. They called the bill an act to set apart and pledge certain funds for internal improvements, for constructing roads and canals and improving the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and give security to internal commerce among the several states, and to render more easy and less expensive the means and provisions of the common defense. So they threw out all sorts of interesting things that they were tying to this, but the real story is that he vetoed it, and that's one of the reasons why the James Madison Monument in Washington, D.C. is what it is. And if you know what it is, by all means, call in and let me know. But I do have a caller, so let me go ahead and take this call, because I'm not sure if this is Mr. Urbach or not, because he said he'd be calling, but who knows? Yes, sir, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? It says here that it's James Crane. James, are you there? I guess not, folks. Let me get back to what I'm going to read here, because what I'm trying to talk about here is that Madison basically kind of blindsided these guys, and they weren't very appreciative of the fact that he sent back this admonishment. And so let me try this one more time. Mr. Crane, are you there? Mark Urbach, are you there? Well, I apologize, folks. I'm going to have to hang up on that person. Anyway, let me move on. So that's one of the reasons why they kind of stiffed Madison, and they did not give him the due credit for all of the different things that he did. And so what I will say is that in this veto, he goes, having considered this bill presented to me entitled what I just gave you, I am constrained by the insuperable difficulty I am in reconciling the bill with the Constitution of the United States to return it with that objection of the House of Representatives in which it originated. So he was constrained that they were doing something, and he's going to get into this. The legislative powers vested in Congress are specified and enumerated, and I've been telling you this whole time, and if you read this, you'll understand, in the 8th section of the first article of the Constitution, and it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers, or that it falls by any just interpretation with the power to make laws necessary and proper for carrying into the execution. Those are other powers vested in the Constitution in the government of the United States. So I've got the caller back, so let me see if this is Mark. Mark, are you there? Hello, Mark. Mark, I cannot hear you. Are you on mute? And I have no idea. I apologize. Well, let me move on. And Mark, if you do pipe in or if you do get your sound taken care of, I've got the mic open for you. So if you just say something, we can go to you. Anyway, Madison, moving on. The power to regulate commerce, and this is Madison quoting, the power to regulate commerce among the several states cannot include a power to construct roads, canals, and improve the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and secure such commerce without latitude of construction departing from the ordinary import of the terms, strengthened by the known inconveniences which doubtless led to the grant of this remedial power to Congress. In other words, he's saying that you'd have to use extreme latitude to, you know, to make the connection that the federal government has this ability to jump in and start taxing and creating waterways and roadways. And the bottom line is that if it's not in the Constitution, they have to figure out, why they're not, so they have to figure out what they need to do. And bottom line, what they needed to do was amend the Constitution. And so what he goes on to say here is to refer the power in question to the clause to provide for common defense and general welfare would be contrary to the established and consistent rules of interpretation as rendering the special and careful enumeration of powers, which follow the clause nugatory and improper, such as a view of the Constitution would have the effect. Okay, the caller's back. Mark, can you hear me? Mark, are you there? So we must have a problem with the switchboard. So I will send you a text at the next break, which is just another minute away. Anyway, my apologies, folks. But let me keep going here. Such a view of the Constitution would have the effect of giving Congress a general power of legislation instead of the defined and limited one hitherto understood to belong to them, the terms common defense and general welfare, embracing every object and act within the purview of legislative trust. It would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and laws of the several states, in all cases not specifically exempted, to be superseded by the laws of Congress, it being expressly declared that the Constitution of the United States and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. So he's talking about the Supremacy Clause right here, and he's saying that you can't take these latitudes because all of a sudden it starts trumping all of these other things. And those powers aren't in there. We have a very specific and a very defined powers that the federal government is giving. And so I'm up to the heartbreak. So I'll be right back after word from our sponsors, and we'll get back into this Madison veto thing. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile,
I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive Haus designers, with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I'm going to go back because I want to make sure you capture this, because a lot of times you hear the justice system or politicians say, well, this is something that's good for the general welfare and defense of the country. When Madison identified the fact that they were trying to use that clause, what he's basically said was to refer the power in question to the clause to provide for common defense and general welfare would be contrary to the established and consistent rules of interpretation as rendering the special and careful enumeration of powers which follow the clause nugatory and improper. So in other words, what by just saying that we have this general welfare and defense clause here that we can do this for anything. He says, no, that is just a like a preamble to all of these enumerated powers, because it's the enumerated powers that are being delegated to the federal government for the general welfare and defense, or common defense and general welfare. And so he's clearly spelling out what that clause really means. That clause does not mean that the federal government or the general government has the ability or should be in the business of providing general welfare and or the common defense other than within the constraints of those enumerated powers. He also goes on to say, such a view of the Constitution would have the effect of giving to Congress a general power of legislation instead of the defined and limited one hitherto understood to belong to them. The terms common defense and general welfare embracing every object and act within the purview of the legislative trust. So here's the beautiful part. This next part right here is where he's going to get into the supremacy clause. And it would be, and this is him saying, quote, it would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and laws of the several states in all cases not specifically exempted to be superseded by laws of Congress, it being expressly declared that the Constitution of the United States and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges of every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So that is precisely why the supremacy clause was never given as a portal to creating new powers. The supremacy clause only means that the enumerated powers and laws that are within the purview of those enumerated clauses are the only thing that Congress can actually write laws about, and those laws would be the supreme law of the land. And so is there any enumerated power for the Department of Agriculture? No. There's no mention of agriculture, forestry, recreation, parks, and those types of things. And so any type of law that is coming forth from Congress that has an association to forestry, agriculture, any of that type of stuff, energy, education, because they're not enumerated within those powers that are listed there, then they're unconstitutional. I could just end there, but there's a whole bunch more here. And so let's try to dive into more of this. Such a view of the Constitution finally would have the effect of excluding the judicial authority of the United States from its participation in guarding the boundary between the legislative powers and the general and state governments. So he's already, so I've been saying this, and this is one of the best documents because he actually points this out. You have to go to the ratification debates to find this as well, that there is a separation of powers between the general and state governments, so that the general government is supposed to do, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way through 18 very specific powers that they've been given in Article 1, Section 8. And the state powers are left to everything else that wasn't listed there and wasn't listed within the Constitution via ratified amendments and so forth. So if that's not making sense, then I don't know what will, because bottom line, he's basically saying here that the general welfare and any type of reaching out to create a new power, it is null and void and unconstitutional because it's not enumerated. The only way it can be enumerated isn't because, you know, the cloud spelled it out one day and the president said, hey, I read this in the clouds and therefore it must be our power and therefore move forward in doing that. I think Obama did that a couple of times. But the point that I'm trying to get to here is that The fact is, the only process, and I said this yesterday, the only way the Constitution adopts to any new changes is when the Article 5 process has been applied, whether that be the Congress path or the state's path. The Article 5 process must be applied for a change to be made to the Constitution. States can't just, you know, throw up their hands and say, okay, we're getting rid of the Constitution. They actually have to go through a secession where some of the states did that with Lincoln. And the interesting thing is, and if you think about it, go look, what did James Madison get renowned for as a monument, you know, for him, the father of our Constitution? And we know what the Washington Monument is and even the Jefferson Memorial. But what is the memorial? And, you know, in all honesty, Washington said that they didn't want these types of things. They did not want to be considered as gods and have memorials and that type of stuff. And so if they would have had their way, we wouldn't have any of these memorials, and then there would be no heritage, and there would be probably no fighting of tearing down monuments in the South and all those types of things anyway. But moving on to this, Madison continues on and says, a restriction of the power to provide for the common defense and general welfare to cases which are provided for by the expenditure of money would still leave within the legislative power of Congress all the great and most important measures of government, money being the ordinary and necessary means of carrying them into execution. If a general power to construct roads, canals, and to improve the navigation of water courses with the train of powers incident, therefore, or thereto, be not possessed by Congress, the assent of the states in the mode provided in the bill cannot confer the power. So I've been telling you that just because the states get, you know, bullied or they get hoodwinked into saying, okay, yeah, come in and create these forest lands, whatever, that does not confer the power. That's exactly what he said here. Be not possessed by Congress. The assent of the states in the mode provided in the bill cannot confer the power. The only cases in which the consent and secession of particular states can extend the power of Congress are those specified and provided for in the Constitution. Any guesses on what that specified process is? It's the Article 5 process. Therefore, if they didn't follow the Article 5 process, then guess what? It's unconstitutional. So he goes on and says, I am not unaware of the great importance of roads and canals and improved navigation of watercourses, and that a power in the national legislature to provide for them would be exercised with signal advantage to the general prosperity. But seeing that such a power is not expressly given by the Constitution, and believing it cannot be deduced from any part of it without an inadmission or inadmissible latitude of construction and reliance on insufficient precedents, believing also that the permanent success of the Constitution depends on a definite partition of powers between the general and state governments, and that no adequate landmarks would be left by the constructive extension of the powers of Congress as proposed in the bill, I have no option but to withhold my signature from it and to cherish the hope that its beneficial objects may be attained by a resort for the necessary powers to the same wisdom and virtue in the nation which established the Constitution in its actual form and providently marked out in the instrument itself a safe, practical mode of improving it as experience might suggest. And that mode is the Article 5. The only thing Madison didn't say there was that you have to amend the Constitution. He did not use those words, but that's exactly what he was talking about. That mode that the instrument itself and a safe, practical mode of improving the experience, Mike suggests. That's precisely what he's talking about, because they have already amended the Constitution by this time. And so, my friends, what we're talking about here is the fact that the Department of Transportation and all these other departments since the Department of Interior never followed the Article 5 process, and they're not enumerated powers within the Constitution. They're unconstitutional, and therein lies the rub and the problem that we have to solve. And therein lies the importance of republic review and auditing the Constitution. So with that, God bless. Have a great weekend. I will be back on Monday. And if you've got any questions, by all means, please call in. Thank you so much, and have a great day.